He put things in you you've never had in you. Cause you to walk in a way you've never walked and make you think different. Amen. Ask God to make you over. Put your life in his hands. Trust him. Let him mold and shape you and beautify you into what he wants you to be.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Amen. Get your Bible, stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. I'm excited. This is graduation time, and young folk are taking examinations and bringing to recall all the stuff they know or are supposed to know. And I just would be remiss if I just wouldn't follow the leading of the Holy Ghost on this word. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you again for this challenge from your word today, and we praise you and thank you for knowing us and knowing our hearts and our situations. Now speak to us through your word. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can do. Let him tailor the text that we're teaching so that every hearer's heart might not only hear you but heed you. And we'll be ever so careful to give you praise, glory, and honor. In the matchless, mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I want to call your attention to the book of 2 Corinthians, if you don't mind. Chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. This is no unfamiliar text, but certainly God has a fresh revelation for us. And it says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, check yourself again. Check yourself again. Examinations are so necessary, and it's tests and examinations that are so very important. As a part of schooling, as a part of learning, as a part of testing, that we have learned and retained, and shows that we have the working understanding of our knowledge. It's one thing to have knowledge, it's a whole nother thing to have understanding. A lot of folk know some stuff, but they don't really know how to work the stuff they know. And so it is in testing that many times the revelation of your knowledge comes to fruition. It is in examinations that you, first of all, begin to understand more closely and intimately how you understand and operate in the knowledge that you have. One of the things that I want you to know is that in our verse today, we are told to take a spiritual test. So whether or not you're still in natural school or not, God says spiritual school is in. And we need to examine ourselves spiritually. To do some spiritual examination, there are three things that we're going to have to note, and we'll look at those in the text. The first thing that I want us to note is the who for the examination. Who qualifies to take this examination? And because it is a spiritual examination, may I suggest you qualify to take this examination yourselves. Let's go back into the word, because it says, examine yourselves. Note the emphasis is on yourselves in this verse. At least six times in this one verse, and I just walked through it right quickly to tell you, you are the center of attention as it relates to this examination. It's easy for us to examine other folk and to say what we think and to say what we've seen and to say what we've heard. But truth be told, no one is better qualified to examine us than us. Because no matter how the outward eye sees us, there is an inward reality that cannot be viewed by the natural eye alone. And so many times we are capable of representing a representative of us and still not be real being us. Now, you know, sometimes I love when you all sit up in church and act holier than thou, because sometimes you have on your church representative. Yeah, that's when you look holier than thou and you know the verbiage of amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, all that good stuff that you only say in church. You don't say it when you bear witness to the truth on your job, in the streets, in your homes, etc. You confine that language to the church house. And so many times folk don't recognize you outside the church because you don't act like you act outside the church the way you act inside the church. Some folk come and see you in church, they won't believe that's you. Say, that look like you. You talk different now because you say some words that ain't in the Bible. Outside of church, on your job, with your friend, you act a different way. So we have representatives. And so sometimes in judging others, we still miss the true essence of that person. That's why the Lord calls us, challenges us to examine ourselves. Because here be the truth, that no matter how harsh somebody is on you, they still don't really know you like you. Because if they really knew the real you, like you know you, then they would not probably won't even deal with you. And some of us have trouble dealing with ourselves. And that, listen, that is the reality of why we need to examine ourselves to make sure that when the Spirit of Truth brings the reality of where we are, what we are, how we are, then we can begin creating those changes after examination. Because in the midst of us being real enough with God to say, God, show me me. And I need to tell you, you better be careful when you ask God to show you you. Because he will place you in situations where the mirror will be placed in front of your face and you will get to see you respond in ways you really know. You didn't know you could act so dirty. Be so mean. Be so selfish. Be so this, that, and the other when you ask God to show you and he shows you you. You say you're a Christian, you help me, you do this, that, and the other, and God shows you when there is a real need for help. We do token gifts and helps and supports, but we don't really help like we could really help. You know, some of us pretend and we, you know, we put on certain things and we act certain ways because it is to give the world a certain viewpoint of us. But when the word says examine yourselves, it says no pretense. No perpetrating, no performing. Be real. It's where you undress and you are naked before you. It's where you see all the flaws, where you see all the stuff that's not right. It's where you see you and you don't have to listen, worry about anybody else seeing you, because this is a personal, private examination. And you see the problem areas of your life. And God shows you those areas so you can do something about them. What we are
what we can be depends largely on how we see us and how we serve him. Listen again. Examine yourselves. Let's go back through the verse and I'll show you again these words. Examine, one, yourselves, whether two, ye be in the faith. Prove, three, your own selves. Know, four, ye, not your five, own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in six you, except ye be reprobates. Now, six times in this one verse, you find yourself the center of attention. So that God wants you to see you, put your focus on you, make sure you're real with you, concentrate on you so you can be real with you. That's why some folk can't really take, you know, compliments and can't really take accolades and nice things said about them, because they realize what is being spoken of is the representative, not the real person. They know what you see is what they wanted you to see. But the real person underneath the skin can't accept that, can't embrace that, because they know the real them is not the real you or real them that you see. And so the eyes are turned inward. Six times in one verse, he says, it's all about you, boo. This is the time when it's all about you, because what it's saying is, if you can't be real with you, then you can't be real with nobody else. If you can't say, Lord, come into my heart, Lord, look into my mind, Lord, look into my action, my deeds, my ways, my thoughts, my ambitions, my activities, if you can't say, Lord, check me out so I can see what I'm all about truly, let me see what you see in me. And listen at this, we ought to do self-examinations often. Often. Some of us go to the doctor annually and do an annual physical, annual checkup. But I got news for you. You need to do a spiritual checkup far more often than annually. Some of us, listen at this, some of us must come to the place, and it's only in the evaluation of your examination that you really discover how you're progressing along on this journey. See, if you go to God annually will show you, and sometimes in certain cases and certain situations, he'll just throw out some real trouble spots that you can't miss. But when you talk about an examination, you're talking about you wanting to know the facts. You want to know, you know why, again, God wants you to examine you again? Because again, there are things that you are privy to that no one else, not even mama, not daddy, not husband, not wife, not sister, brother, not friend or foe, is privy to. And if God is going to do with you, to you, through you, for you, the things he desires, then you're going to have to be in a place with God where you are right. Not according to man's examination, because man can miss it through his prejudiced views, his short and fractured perspectives. Perspectives. And so when you examine you before God, you've got nothing to hide. Nothing to hide. You're as open and as open and real can be, because you know the one that sees you is able to change you, is able to strengthen you in your weaknesses, is able to turn you around from your wicked ways, is able to make you all that you ought to be in him. So we talk about the who for the examination is yourself. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. Tell your other neighbor he's talking about you. And say, okay, I'm going to be real. He's talking about me. Come on, come on. Thank you, sister. Amen. Amen. Listen at this. Not only is the who for the examination yourselves important, but let's look at the what in the examination. Because here the word says, whether ye be in the faith. So we're examining ourselves, and the end result is we want to know whether or not we be in the faith, whether or not we are truly saved. Yeah, you joined the church, but just because you joined the church don't mean you're saved. Just because you joined the church does not mean you're in the faith. You may be in the fellowship, of church folk where you have membership, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a true believer. And so oftentimes people wonder why things don't happen for them the way God says it ought to happen, the way it doesn't line up with the word, the way they can't call, know that he hears and the answer is granted. It's because they are not truly in the faith. Listen, we have the ability to speak those things that be not as though they were when we're in the faith. We have the ability to be overcomers because Jesus overcame, and the record is, so shall we if we're in the faith. We have the assurance that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us shall be condemned. We have that privilege if we are in the faith. I can walk through the word, and promise after promise, privilege after privilege is ours, but it only counts only if we're in the faith. Yeah, we may all be in the same church, but we may not all be in the same faith. We may not all be in that place where we are saved, sanctified, satisfied, filled with God's Spirit, and have God's promises, and they are relevant to us because we live them. The just shall live by faith. And so the examination really reveals whether or not we have soul salvation. Listen at this. We have to examine ourselves to see if we are really saved or not. Why is this important? Because one of the worst things to do is to live and die being a church member and end up in hell. Now, I'm going to tell you, look, it just don't make sense to play church like that. Because you just miss out on too much in the world when you're playing church like that. You might as well, if you're going to hell, you might as well go on and do what you're going to do here, because everything in hell is hot, long, and messed up, and there are no exits, and there are no returns, and there are no second chances, and it's all over when you go to hell. So if you're going to go to hell, you might as well get on out of church and enjoy yourself here. Now, I know this sounds strange, but I'm trying to be real with you here. Why are you going to be a hypocrite? Why are you going to waste your time on Sunday? Waste your time giving money you ain't getting nothing back on. Waste your time serving or pretending to serve God when you know you're just going through lip service and just busybody ministry. Well, why waste your time trying to act holy around us and then acting hellish around other folks? Why don't you just be real? You don't come up in here, sit up here, act holy. No, you got off the dance floor last night. Popping mints and bubble gum and other stuff to camouflage the smell that ain't a sweet savor. You ain't got to be real with me, I'm gonna be real with you. See, because when you are saved, there are just some things about you that change. Salvation brings conversion. And so you then start liking the things God likes, and you start hating the things God hates. And you start recognizing, wait. You start loving him and his word and all of the other things. Listen at this. That he desires for you than the things of the world and the things you used to desire. See, when you are saved, you want all of the friends you used to hang out with to be saved. But if they won't be saved, you say, I'm sorry, but I've got to end this friendship because I can't even be in the appearance of evil. I got to let this stuff alone. I've got to walk away, turn my back on. Because the record is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall one humble themselves, two and pray, three seek my face, four and turn from their wicked ways. I'm not responsible for you turning from your wicked ways. But when I've been saved, I've got to turn myself from my own wicked ways. And listen at this. When I desire to walk in that kind of salvation, and I want everybody else to love and know the God I serve. But if they won't, I will disconnect myself from that fellowship and pray for them that they'll come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved me, picked me up. No, I'm not perfect, but I'll tell you what, I'm striving for perfection. I'm walking in that way. I may fall sometime, rise sometime, get knocked down sometime, but I'm going to get up and I'm still headed in the right direction. And if by chance the enemy seems to turn me around, the favor and the faith that I have in God will pick me up and reposition me, right, so I can continue on in the way that pleases God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. So I need to realize, I need to recognize that I need to examine myself to make sure I'm saved, so I don't fool myself. Paul said, what a shame. Woe unto me that after I preach this gospel to others, I myself might be a castaway. Now, you know, can I tell you, that's why I got to tell it. But after I get through telling it, I got to live it. Because I don't want to tell it all the days of my life and not live it. And after telling it and you get there and I don't make it, what is the sense of all of that labor, of all of that studying, of all of that sacrificing, of all of that pouring out, and I don't make the journey myself? See, that's why you got to keep yourself in a constant examination, because you can be so busy trying to help other folk out that you forget you need to check yourself again every night. I wish I had some real help in the house. So sometimes you're so busy praying for everybody else, you forget to pray for yourself. You're so busy trying to lift everybody else out, you forget you got to look after your own spiritual man. You're so busy pouring out that you forget that you need to be pouring into yourself sometimes. And so all of these things mean that you've got to check yourself. Paul tell preachers, check yourself before your message. Y'all to catch that in your study. Check yourself before your sermon. Why does he say that? Because if the power is not on the vessel, then even though the valuables that come out of the vessel is still real, it's tainted by what the people see that's holding the value. In other words, if you see a dirty cup on the outside, are you likely to drink the content from the inside? No, you'd be like, no, I'm really not thirsty. I thank you. I appreciate it. I did want some water, but you set it there. And if it's just somebody you just can't, you might just put up to your mouth, act like you drink, but you don't really hold your mouth. So I'm going to tell you what I had to do sometime. Paul said, I've learned how to be a base. I've learned how to bow. So you go to some folk and they'll be offended, but you know, that's just them. And if you're there, you ain't trying to hurt folk. He said, I've learned to be hungry. I've learned to be full. You go to some places, you instantaneously see little critters crawling around there. No, I'm not hungry. Thank you. Let me take that to go. All right, you can sit there and eat it, but I'm going to be real with you here. See, that might not bother them, but that bothers me. Somebody say, so that's why a pastor took that cake to go from my house, huh? Yeah, baby, that's why. I'm just joking. Sometimes I'm just not hungry. But listen. When we recognize how sincerely important it is to make sure you know. It would be wonderful that everybody else knows, but what's most important is that you know. It's wonderful to have everybody think well of you, but the Bible says beware. When all men speak well of you. See, that literally means then that you become a man pleaser rather than a God pleaser.
And you got to know, I know there are Sundays when I stand and declare this truth from the Word of God that will not be changed, that is unalterable, that is unadulterated, that sometimes I'm going to step on some toes, I'm going to hurt some feelings, I'm going to say some stuff you don't want to hear, but it's not my message. I'm just the messenger. I cannot alter this word because God sent you here to hear what He has to say to you. Listen, He may have been trying to get it to you many different ways and you wouldn't hear. And even if He did get it in, sometime this is the last place where He confirms what He's already told you. And woe unto me if I preach not this gospel. Woe unto me if I say not that that God tells me to say to you. Because who knows what tomorrow holds? Who knows whether or not this will be your last Sunday? This will be my last. Who knows? So oftentimes we're filled with promises to do better. But many times we lack the ability to take advantage of the present opportunity. Wonderful woman of God shared with me about her blessed grandchild had promised her in a conversation they had had the weekend that he was going to make Bible study that Wednesday. Not next Sunday. That was too far away. Promised I'm coming back to Bible study that Wednesday. Got killed Tuesday. Young man, time is not on your side. When opportunity comes for you to check you out, get you together, examine you, don't wait till next Sunday. Do it now. Right now. Right now. How many mistakes could I have avoided in my own life had I just taken out time and checked myself? Again, check my motives, check my desire, check my feelings, check my place, check my position, check the word God has given to me, and check my destiny, reminding me of who I am and whose I am and where I'm headed to, and see if it lined up with the plan of God. Would I have still done what I did? Made a decision that I made. And that's why we ought to examine ourselves again. And again, whenever I feel like I've got some issue against somebody else, it's a clear sign I need to check myself. When the spirit tries to, that antichrist spirit, try to make me feel hatred toward a brother or sister or enemy or someone who's done me wrong, I've got to check myself. Again, maybe I'm guilty of why they are acting like they're acting. It ain't always somebody else. And when we try to act holier than thou and act like we're the only ones who's right and everybody else is wrong, and it seems like everybody comes up with the same conclusion and yet they're all wrong and we're always right, and people who are not connected with the other people who have the same opinion have the same opinion, it's a time for me to check myself again. And so when we realize that he's making clear that this examination is to make sure you are in the faith, that you're truly saved, not surfacely saved, but truly underneath the skin saved. Last thing I want you to realize, not only as he talked about the who of the examination and the what of the examination, but I want to share with you the ways of the examination. First, there are three ways that we suggest you check yourself. Because one of the things that I dislike about folk telling you to do stuff is not telling you how to do it. I wish I had a helper in the house. Now you gonna tell me to clean this up, well then how do I clean it up? How do I do it? I wanna do it. And a lot of folk wanna do it, they just don't have the knowledge to do it. So I wanna help you with a little knowledge to do it. The first thing that you need to do in order to have a self-examination, to check yourself again, is to have an affection for the Savior. An affection for the Savior. To have a love, passion for the Savior. You know, anything that you really love, you have a passion for it. Folk know you love it because it's all a part of you. It's in your walk. It's in your talk. It's in your expressions. It's in your dialogue. It's all a part of you. You ain't even got to tell nobody you love it. They can just see it bubbling all out of you. When you talk about Jesus, can folk tell that you are affectionate about him?
You know, like you talk about that man or that woman or that job or that car or that this or that. Do they see that kind of affection about you? Do they see you just getting all tongue-tied about do the words bumble up trying to come out telling anybody and you just can't? And you just have to do this because they don't know what you're talking about. You just got to wave your hand because you're trying to, let me get my mind settled down so I can say what I really. And on